Happy to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. And coming up, we're going to be talking with you about food drying. And, you know, as we get into the gardening season, we're planting those crops now, getting ready to plant them. Why not keep some of those plants in mind, some of the plants in mind where the fruits of which could be dried? And Mary Bell will be talking with us about that. And we'll talk about food drying in general. She is the author of Food Drying with an Attitude, combining spirit, spunk, sustainability, and good food. And she's been a guest a number of times with us. So she's from Lanesboro, Minnesota, happens to be in the area today. So we're really glad to have her with us. You'll be able to join in with your questions about food drying and about what you can dry at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we'll be back with Mary right after this look at the news. Stay with us. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're switching gears a bit now and talking about food drying with Mary Bell, who's been with us a number of times over the years. She's from Lanesboro, Minnesota. She's written several books on drying food, including Mary Bell's Complete Dehydrator Cookbook, Jerky People, Just Jerky, and Dehydration Made Simple. And her newest book is called Food Drying with an Attitude. It's from Skyhorse Publishing. So pleased to have her back. And one of the things we thought we'd do is, because it's Garden Talk, is to talk about sort of keeping in mind some of the things that you're planning this year. Maybe you want to consider a few things that are really great when they're dried. And Mary knows every one fruit and vegetable that is great when it's dried.
Well, thanks, Larry. In planting a garden, I think it's a good idea to think ahead to not only what you're going to be able to have for your table, but how you're going to preserve your surplus. I mean, zucchini can get very prolific, and you can have a lot of zucchini. And then, what do you do with the zucchini? What can you dry and freeze? And to think ahead to that, drying is a really good alternative for a lot of things: zucchini, kale, spinach, tomatoes, peppers, onions, and the list goes on.
And as sort of an example of the increased interest in this, book sales on one of your books, The Complete Dehydrator Cookbook,
This is a 15-year-old book, and in the last 6 months, royalties are paid every 6 months. In the last 6 months, which is from last July through December, the number of books doubled from any other previous six-month period, which sort of is an indicator that food drying is gaining interest again, because it is a very easy way to preserve food. We do a lot of canning, we do a lot of freezing, but we do a lot more drying because it's energy efficient. You can dry food at night when you're sleeping, so you're not standing over jars boiling on the stove. It is a good way to use some of that surplus. And then it's available, and the amount of storage space that you need, of course, is reduced. You can put 20 to 25 dried peppers in a jar. Yeah. So you can save that freezer space for things like meat or something else.
And there is a big increased interest in gardening. I know, we know that, vegetable gardening, this year, given our economic times and all. Mm-hmm. So, along with that, I'll bet there are a lot of people out there who haven't gardened before, let alone dried those.
Yes, and that's probably some of those people that are buying the books on food drying now. Yes, I get a lot of questions about how to dry things. People are looking ahead to the garden season and saying, if I plant a lot of peppers, what will I do with them? Well, cut them up into quarter-inch pieces, put them on the dehydrator, dry them. They dry really well. And then use them you have to rehydrate them in soups or someplace where there's adequate liquid.
Let me give the phone number, because I haven't done that yet. It's 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question for Mary as we talk with her about food drying, what can you dry, how do you do it, what are some kind of cool things? She always has great recipes, and she brought something nice for us today, as a matter of fact, a sample at least. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. 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 You know, I'm surprised at the farmers market. Many of the farmers markets do not have dried food vendors, and that kind of surprises me.
Yes, it surprises me too, because it's such a great way to bring food to the market. You can dry it. For example, last year I planted 100 eggplant plants. If I would have taken those eggplants, I got 250 eggplants from my garden. Mm-hmm. If I would have taken them to market, I would have gotten probably a dollar a piece for those eggplants. Instead, what I did is that I dried about 200 eggplants, packaged them, and then took them to market when they're out of season. So this season, I'm going to start with having eggplant when eggplant is out of season, and the only eggplant that you can get when you go to the store is from other countries. The food miles that my eggplant traveled from my garden to the farmer's market is 3 miles.
Yeah.
If you looked at the food miles from the eggplant in the store, it'd be a lot more than 3 miles, let me tell you. And the price, plus it's, you know, I'm not organic, but I do not use any chemicals in my garden because I don't want to eat them and I don't want to feed them to my friends and family. So farmers markets could dry, or people that are doing the farmers markets could dry their eggplant, their tomatoes, you know, all these things, and then sell them when they're out of season, when the glut has passed and that they're not really getting, you know, what I would consider a fair price for all of the work that you put into growing the food.
Or anyone listening can go to the farmer's market in the summer when these products are not very expensive, really, considering,
yes,
and dry them and do it themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. And go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we have a number of callers online.
Oh, let's go.
Let's talk to a few people. Charlie in Rice Lake, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
What's that?
I could actually ask you quite a few questions, but I specifically grow heirloom vegetables organically. I have a small 4-acre garden, and I have a feeling I do have about 14 or 15 different types of heirloom tomatoes this year, and I have a feeling I'm going to have some left over.
Yes.
After I sell them, because I do sell them, but I was wondering, how do you go about drying tomatoes? That's interesting. I know about the canning and the paste, the salsas and things, but how do you go about drying the tomatoes?
It's very easy. First of all, you use a ripe or a red tomato, but not too ripe. If it's getting squishy, tomatoes tend to turn dark.
So a
red firm tomato. And then you dry it at 135 degrees. And what I do is that I cut the tomatoes, I cut the core out, I cut the bottom off, and then I just cut them in slices, round slices, and put them on a dehydrator tray. Now, tomatoes have sugar in it. So when you're drying the tomatoes, there is an accessory sheet that goes along with most dehydrators called a mesh sheet. And you put the tomato on top of the mesh sheet. And what that does is that it prevents the tomato from sticking to the tray. That is really important because if you don't have that mesh sheet on the tray, the tomatoes will stick and it's very frustrating to try to get them off. And
people. Oh, I see.
So that's the importance of that. And then when you dry them until they're basically crisp. When you're testing to see how dry is dry, to determine when it's dried, let the tomatoes cool for a little while because warm food always feels softer than when it cools. So
right.
Let them cool and then put them in a jar or in a plastic bag.
What's their shelf life?
In a jar, the tomatoes will really from season to season, from one growing season to the next, they will last for about a year. Depending on the light, if they're in light, they can darken over time. I also put tomatoes, as some other things, in a plastic bag and then put them in the freezer.
Okay.
And then you get a beautiful, beautiful, the color stays really nice and bright. Plus, what I like about putting the dried tomatoes in a bag in the freezer is when you take them out just to use them, just simply crush them in your hand and then add them to your chili, your spaghetti, or anything else. So that it's very easy to handle at that point.
Do you think that, now you say you're talking about the ripening and how ripe the tomato is, I do have some tomatoes like my Cherokee Purple and my Purple Russian and my darker tomatoes that, you know, I'm really, sometimes, you know, I'm really selling them. They sell on their color, you know, because they're so beautiful. Yeah. Am I going to run into problems with preserving these with the color and the density of the tomato?
Sounds like you'd want to, would you freeze those? Would that, after you dry?
Well, the color, you're going to get some darkening. Whenever you dry anything because of the absence of water, it's going to darken a bit. I would experiment, you know, try drying. Maybe some varieties of your tomatoes will dry better than others, so dry those. But, you know, when you start getting tomatoes coming in, start drying them right away and look at them and taste them. Another thing I like to do with the dried tomatoes is when you put the tomatoes on the dehydrator tray, sprinkle them, sprinkle on top some basil, some dried basil, some dried oregano, some garlic, and then the herbs dry into the tomatoes, so you've made a tomato chip. So it's sort of a value-added tomato chip, and customers really like that a lot. So it really is going to take some experimenting for you to find out what it is you like and what it is your customers like.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to see. I'll have to send you some. We'll see how the first round goes.
I would love that. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate your call. And Monica in Cedarburg, it's your turn. Hi, Monica.
Hi. Question for you. I heard that you can dry herbs in a convection oven, and I'm wondering if that's the case. I did check my oven, and the lowest temperature I can use convection is 170, and I'm wondering if that temperature is suitable.
Way too high.
Too high.
Way too high. 170 degrees, all your herbs are going to end up being brown, and they're not going to have much flavor.
Okay.
No. No. Air drying would be a better solution, just tying the herbs up in little bundles and hanging them in a place that has good ventilation. The herbs really need to be dried at a temperature between 90 and max 110 degrees. Oh. Otherwise, they turn too dark.
Okay.
There you have it.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling, Monica. Sarah in Pell Lake, you are next. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. I was going to get a food dryer, but I have some weird allergy issues, and I have to bake my fruits. It's just a couple of handful of stuff I can have, but I have to bake them for about an hour or so before I can eat them, and I'm wondering if I can bake them and then dry them, or if that's something that would work, and if it could work, what would you recommend? Which fruits would you recommend that I could try that with? Because basically the ones I'm looking at are pineapple, mangoes, corn, maybe some strawberries and blueberries if I get brave enough to try that.
All right.
Okay. When you're drying food, you're taking the water out. So what I would recommend, instead of baking and then drying, I would do the opposite. I would dry and then bake. Because the drying will take the water, most of the water out, and then you can bake it, perhaps even for less time. I don't know, you know, what the situation is, so that, you know, I can give you, I'm not a doctor, I don't know, I can't recommend that, but I would try the drying first, and then the baking. That's all that I can say.
Okay. The whole thing is I have to get the proteins to be changed enough so my body doesn't recognize them, and that's why the baking, because the baking will change it enough that I will identify it, that my body doesn't identify it and doesn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just can't help you with that.
That one, yeah. You might want to go back to your doctor even for some more information on that one. That is a tough one. Thanks, Sarah, for calling. More callers online. You can join us, by the way. We have a couple of open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Or email at talk@wpr.org. Talking with Mary Bell today, author of many books, including Mary Bell's Complete Dehydrator Cookbook, selling really well, and her newest book, Food Drying with an Attitude. By the way, how's that one going?
That one's doing well. You know, the publisher hasn't really pushed it. I like that book. I like Attitude. I think, you know, it works for me, and it's the culmination of 30 plus years of drying food. And, you know, I feel like that book is sort of like reaching out my hand saying, you can do this, and you can do it, and it's real simple, or you can get real fancy. And I mean, I like everything I put in that book. I think it's, you know, I think it's a good selection.
I do as well. David,
thank
and
you.
Yeah, and let's see. David and Madison, I think, is up next. David, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is about hot peppers. I'll be growing some, I think it's a poblano, a type of chili, and I'm sure it might be a serrano. I'd like to dry those, but I don't have a food dryer. Can you kind of talk me through what I need to do to get them ready for just hanging in the kitchen, caring for that, and do you even think that's a good way to do it?
For hanging in the kitchen? Sure.
Yeah.
When I dry hot peppers, what I do is that I cut them in half.
Okay.
If you're going to hang something up or dry, you've got to get air on the inside.
Okay.
Otherwise, they can mold or spoil from the inside out. So you have to. I cut them in half, and then I put them, and I remove the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just put the pepper on the dehydrator tray. You can cut it in pieces, and that makes it even easier to grind up and to make it into a powder. If you're going to hang them, you can also just poke holes in
okay.
the pepper, and so the dry air will get inside. It's getting the dry air inside of the pepper that's really important. And then air drying, they're not supposed to touch one another.
Okay.
So hang them so that they're separate.
I think what I did last year is I hung them over the sink, so a lot of the steam from the sink came
yeah.
up,
yeah.
And I didn't poke holes, and I kept them whole. So
yeah.
They didn't turn out as well.
Yeah, in a sunny spot, just, you know, sort of hang up a clothesline and string them along, and they will dry. On a windy, warm day, you can get drying done very, very quickly.
All right.
Great. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. You know, it's been so long since we've used our food dryer for quite a few years now. I don't even know how much they cost anymore. What does a decent one cost these
well,
days?
Well, anywhere from, let's say, $40 to $250.
Yeah,
you know, it depends on how many trays you want. And, you know, the temperature control in the better units is more accurate, and a good fan. That's what you want in a dehydrator, is a good fan. Air circulating is so important. Get that dry air through all surfaces of the food as efficiently as possible. And some of the lesser expensive dehydrators have a very weak fan, so it takes a lot longer, and sometimes the quality is compromised.
Let's go to Margaret and Feely next. Hi, Margaret. Great. Thanks for calling.
Okay. My question is about vegetables. When you're cutting them and drying them, that technically you have to do that in a commercial kitchen. Are you using a commercial kitchen to sell them at a farmer's market?
No. I live in Minnesota, and I checked with the powers that be, and they said, you know, it's food drying. They really didn't have any feeling about it at all. I mean, maybe I'm going to get in trouble on this one, but I have not had any problem with what I dry and take to market. There's just, you know, maybe as more and more people get into it, they'll develop more rules about it.
Well, that's a bummer, because the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has produced this Wisconsin Local Food Marketing Guide. And if you cut vegetables, even selling from your farm or a farmer's market, it's got to come from a licensed retail food establishment, which is kind of a bummer. I mean,
wow.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. Well, that's a good piece of information. No, I'm not aware of that. I make in the farmer's market that I go to in Lanesboro, I make a rhubarb lace. It's a dried rhubarb sauce. Kids absolutely love it. It's a great treat. I dry bananas, and they're cut. I have my tomatoes, the eggplant. I've done horseradish. I plan on doing kale next year, the dried kale product. And no.
Okay, well.
Sorry.
But I'm glad to have that information about Wisconsin. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. You know, we're about to morel mushroom season here, and Mona in Milwaukee wonders about drying mushrooms like morels or any other mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mushrooms dry beautifully, and they last just about forever as long as you can keep them hidden from, you know.
Everybody.
Everybody wants. Yeah, one year we were horseback riding, and we came across about 40 pounds of morel mushrooms, and we gave them as gifts that year. Morels are wonderful. What I do is that I cut the stem off, or break the stem off, and then cut them in half because I want to get as much dirt and debris out as possible, and then put them on the dehydrator and dry them. I've done it a couple of different ways. At one point, I washed the morels to get them clean, and that's a good thing to do. But they turn so dark once they've been subjected to the water that I didn't like the color. They were almost black.
Okay.
So they'll keep a beautiful color if you just simply cut them and dry them. And then before I use them, I'll soak them. And I like to soak morel mushrooms in white wine. That's my favorite.
Oh.
And you can then strain that wine if you want to use that as part of your liquid in cooking the mushrooms.
You're making me hungry.
I know. And the morel mushrooms are wonderful and horrifically expensive.
Thomas in Manitowoc. Hi.
I was just wondering if you had any experience with drying on a wire rack up on a rooftop. I know they do that in Italy. They even make their tomato paste by putting it on a big board up on their roof and drying it down with a trowel, and they go over it. And when it gets really thick, like a concentrated tomato sauce, it works very well. I just wondered if you had any experience or advice.
Well, I've built solar dehydrators and what I call environmental dehydrators drying outside, and I mean any way that you can get food dry, I vote for it. What I've found is that it's a lot more work than a food dehydrator, and what you have to do is that you have to pay attention to the weather, because if the humidity picks up, you could compromise the food drying. You have to be tuned to it. I mean, the Native Americans, you know, living right here in this land, they dried squash and corn and beans, and they got it all dry in a couple of days. You can, you know, I encourage you to experiment and to try. You're going to get consistent results on a food dehydrator. And if you're going to do something like a paste, a wire rack may or may not work. In commercial electric dehydrators or in electric dehydrators, you have something called a leather sheet. It's a solid plastic tray. It's a liner tray that fits right in a dehydrator, and you can put any kind of puree on that sheet, and it will dry. And it will dry within a reasonable period of time so that the product that you get looks good and tastes good. If something is left outside too long, you're going to get deterioration of color. Yes.
And with that, I want to thank you very much for calling, by the way. And Mary, this has been really fast, but your website, you have a website, right?
Yes, Dry Store.
It's Dry Store. Mary, it's drystore.com?
Yeah.
Drystore.com, and it's got your books and all of the information that people, a lot of information aside from where they can purchase your books.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you, Mary. Really fast. Mary Bell, take a look at her website. It's drystore.com, and that's where you can find out about ordering her books and other materials as well. And thank you for listening. Just to let you know, Monday we'll talk about Operation Military Kids with a couple of guests, and then food safety issues. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.